But anyway, so I wanted to share for just a short bit about a, I'll call it a picture, a movie or something or other. For me, it was wonderful. At least a couple weeks ago, it was probably maybe 3 weeks ago or something like that, I was sitting in my chair. I'm going to try to draw a picture for you. I'd like to try to paint it. And you can have your eyes open or closed, but if you would try to help me by you painting this picture for yourself, that way it's your picture, not mine. Okay, I'll describe mine, and then it can be yours, if you'd like that. So I was sitting in a chair in some time in the early evening or something or other. Won't go into more detail. Suzanne was sitting there in hers. And I just drifted off to sleep. I know that's how it started, but I drifted off to sleep. And a short bit later, I was in what I would start with describing it as a dream. I cannot honestly tell you whether I was there in the chair or not. I would turn around to somebody else and say, well, did you look and was I there or not? I don't know. I probably was. I don't really give a flip. But I was somewhere else. And where I was in a... I want to use the word sea, S-E-A, of people. But yet I wasn't in with the... So, if you will, think of a very large auditorium, okay? People are in the seats of the auditorium. The auditorium is so big that you cannot see the walls. Even if you've got really good vision, you cannot see the walls. You see the seats. You can see people in the seats. Now, paint with me, if you will, that the people are basically from the shoulders up. You see no evidence of anything other than that in this particular part. And so, and in this auditorium, you're not sitting in the auditorium. Just kind of picture yourself up and away from the auditorium. You know, you could say 10, 15, 20, 50 feet, something like that. And you're there, but you're not a part. You're not one of the people that is in all those seats, a mass of seats. There are no empty seats. There's a potload of people. I asked actually some specific questions. One of the definitions of infinity is it countable? One of the things that you measure when you look at infinity as that term, is it infinite or not? You say, yes, it is, if the thing that you're referring to is not countable. And I know that, so I was asking, are the people here countable? I can't answer you accurately what the answer was, except to say that it was a very large number and difficult to and difficult to count, or actually it's not that relevant whether it's countable or not. So just picture the seats, the people, and the people are there. And they're from the shoulders up, and they have their heads down. They have their heads down, just like I do right now. I'm looking, for the benefit of the recording, I'm looking down at the floor. And at this frame, virtually everybody is the same way. Everybody, so just paint the picture yourself. You can paint yourself either being up and away, or you can paint yourself being a member, because at one time that was us. We all were sitting there, and we had our heads down, not forced down. They were just looking down, about a 45-degree angle, I would say, something like that. So in that frame, hopefully you've painted this picture, and it's moving. As you look in the next frames that are there, you start looking around, and you see people in, you know, going in this direction, and you see people going in this direction. Going meaning just a sea of seats and people, all gray, all looking down. You know, just you look out one way, and you look, and no matter where you look, it's all that same way. Okay, now move with me, if you will, to the next frame. I'm not sorry, but because communication is important. Move with me now to the next phases of this, because what you see, which is so utterly wonderful, what you see is a person. Once you see all of this and you start going to the next phase, you see the next piece of this, where you see a person looking up. This person, you notice, this person down here was looking down, and you don't see eyes, you don't see any expressions or anything about her. You just see their face. You can do this in your, just like you would do yourself. Just picture yourself, I'm seated there, and I'm looking down, and then I look up. Now, look up means look at the horizon.
Yes.
I'm down like this, and I'm looking at the horizon. That is our human condition. Okay, that's just a piece. Now, I'm not nearly done yet, but but we're looking this way, and as you notice this person, and that's what I was doing while I was there, I was saying, that person's looking up. Their head is just moving up, just like this, just slow, and just, you're not real slow, but they're looking up to the horizon. There's another one. There's another person who's looking up. It's just wonderful. You know, you see one face after another, you're actually not looking at their faces, you're looking here behind, you know, their ear and the back of their head, but you see they're looking up and looking toward the horizon. And the uncountability piece of it is, as you start seeing one, and then two, and then three, and then some large number, and then you start looking, and it becomes a sea. It's almost like this one started, and then the ones around it, and then the other ones around it, and then a wave of heads lifting up, one after another, and as they're lifted up, there is no head goes back down, none. They all look up toward the, in a sense, it makes you want to go look at, well, what's going on the horizon? What is the horizon here? What was going on was that there was a general background. It was almost, I actually want to call it a general background of music, but it was words that were coming in music. Okay, so just, if you will, just pick some, you know, not like Rachmaninoff, but, you know, some other music of some kind, and put words to it, and the words was music, and it was causing the people to look up. It was the music, the melody, the music of what was being said that was causing people to look up. I mean, I was just, and you know, and it was catchy. I'm sorry, I know I'm using that term, but what I mean by catchy is it was contagious.
Yes.
Okay, not a catchy tune. It was contagious. Speed, you'd have your head look up. And just like a virus, the next person would. I mean, it was contagious, you know, a next person and somebody around you and somebody around you. And they all did the same thing. They just, their heads would look up toward, and everyone was looking toward the horizon. Okay, now I couldn't identify the horizon as a specific direction. It was more omnidirectional. And so now we'll go to the next phase. Okay, so just kind of start with the first phase and then flow with me, if you will, going through that. The next phase of it was, you see this wave of people just going, and then you see the next phase of this, which I'm not describing that very well, I'm sorry, where people are, it's almost better for me just to grab a chair, and so I'm sitting like, as if I were in this audience, in this auditorium, and I'm sitting, all you see is from the shoulders up, no other distinguishing features at all of the faces, and they look up. You don't see when they look up. I know I just opened my eyes, but you don't see their eyes opening. There's still no features, no eyes, no. But they're doing this. They're looking and noticing just what I'm doing right now, as if I'm seeing my arm for the very first time.
Awesome.
I'm turning my hand over and I'm what is this?
Yes.
I'm seeing, you know, and it's not the same first person, but you see, there. I have features. I have features. I have, and that's what was. I'm not sorry. It's just, it's the joy of seeing a person
awakened.
Okay. It awakened and this is wonderful. This is utterly wonderful. It's just and that's what was going on, and you'd see, you know, maybe an uncountable number, I don't know, it was a big number of, and every one of them did the same thing. They, you saw just their heads up, and then you'd see, you'd see them, I don't want to use the words, I will in a moment, and then they look down and they'd see this, and then they'd see this, and then they just raise their hands, and it was such an utterly natural thing to do, to discover, and then raise their hands in praise, in worship. Okay? So, if you have that movie in your, just play the movie. Do, if you don't mind, I mean, the way I do, I almost cradle when I see a movie. I almost cradle it. And I'll flow it back. It, to me, it's a precious thing. And so I'll flow it back. And I'll flow it forward. I'll speed it up a little bit. I'll do like the Trace Adkins something and say, turn it up.
Yes.
I'll speed it up a little bit. And then I'll slow it back down. Just looking around. So inspect, if you will, with me. So that you have a good feeling for the process, for what was going on, for the flow, for the individual looking at the horizon, and then the discovery that all that was focused to begin with was just the horizon. No features, no recognition of features of any kind, and then a transition into that they are not just this looking at the horizon. There are other, I have these, I don't know what you call them. Here we'd call them arms, you know, and hands and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was just that I have, what can I can.
Yes.
It, you know, it's not intent for worship. It is recognition for worship. Okay? And so that's the movie. Okay? So as long as if you have a good picture, if you have a good picture of the movie, then I, as I was noticing that, then I, what I would say is I came to, meaning I came back and I became aware. I'm sitting in my chair, and so I started describing it to Suzanne. And what often happens with these things is I don't necessarily understand them. You know, the picture of the movie will occur, and then I'll start asking a few questions, you know, the inquisitive asking questions and things. Well, is this, what is that, you know, what is, but the clarification of it occurs usually over a couple days. And so I started asking a few questions, okay, and that's the joke that, you know, my father and I have with each other. I have the joke and he puts up with it, actually, is the more accurate statement here. Because now I want to start asking a question and say, you know, I have a few questions. That's how it starts, and he just kind of, yeah, okay. Not different than other people do that. And so I started asking a few questions. I made the assumption to begin with. I'm okay with time. I made the assumption that when I was sitting and I looked up, you know, the people looked up, that what they saw was light. Made sense. I even asked, well, it's, but, okay, so remember the mantra of, now I'm pausing for a moment in the middle of my sentence, I'm going to something else at the moment. Remember that we have talked, I've probably talked more about it, but nonetheless, it is becoming a mantra for me, which is, we take it in through our sensory mechanisms of whether they be physical, whether they be human, of touch or sight or so, or our spirit.
Absolutely.
We take it in. There's no difference. We take it in. I talked with somebody at an office about this. We take it in. We identify it. And then we correlate it.
Yes.
Okay? I can't tell you how important. I could look later after a while and look back, but it feels to me like that is going to become increasingly helpful, useful, important, value, and have value. We take it in, we identify it, and then we correlate it. Okay. So given that, I asked about the taking in of, and well, it could have been light, but it really wasn't light. It was something else. Okay, so in the next day or two, I started, well, what is this? And so now I'm going to go over to the explanation for me as far as I can take it. What I'd like you to do, given that you have that picture, is I'd like you to draw, so think of a capital H without the horizontal bar. Okay, draw in your mind's eye a capital H without the horizontal bar. Okay, you can draw the H and then get your eraser out. Okay. When the person was sitting in the chair, true for every single, there's the pattern here. Okay. What they were seeing was not light. I'm still reacting this way. It's that same, exactly that same night. What I was seeing was hope.
Yes.
That was what they were seeing for the utterly the very first time.
Yes.
Now, I could ask in a negative sense, do you have any idea? I only mean it loving and positive. Do you have any idea how utterly precious it is to see hope birthed in someone for the very first time? It was not there, and hope gets birthed in the person for the very first time. We were those people sitting in those chairs, and hope was birthed in us.
Yes.
It wasn't light. It was hope. It was, you could say Jesus, you could say the Holy Spirit, you could say your best friend next door, your person across the street. It doesn't matter. But what you could see is hope birthed in the person. With the child being birthed by the mother, you see hope coming out.
Yes.
You see hope alive in a way that wasn't before and is now. Hope that will never not be, ever. It was not there, and then it is. Okay? Now, so that was the first thing that on that first thing, it was hope birthed in the person, and that's what they were seeing on the horizon. Hope birthed. Okay? Not light. Okay? Hope in that first part of the H, not light. Okay? That's what was birthed when they lifted their head. Okay? Over to the next portion of the H. When they were, so that's what I was asking about was, you know, this doesn't quite feel like, it doesn't, you know, sensory senses take it in, identify it. As identified, it doesn't quite feel like light, something else about it. No, I know what that is. I know what that is because I've experienced hope. Okay? Now on to the other part. Okay. The other part is when the person was doing this, was recognizing, I have more than hope.
Yes.
I have, in the physical, you could call them arms and hands and stuff, but I have, and that, and so now we move from the one over to the other part of that H without the bar. What is the other first, that first top word? That word is restoration.
Yes.
Okay. What I started with hope, which wasn't, and now had hope, what happened as a consequence? What happened as a consequence to hope birthing? Restoration. What is meant by that restoration in that upper right part of the H? Restoration can now be.
Yes.
With hope comes restoration.
Absolutely.
With hope, whatever the subject matter is, it doesn't matter what it is. With hope comes restoration. Okay? Restoration doesn't mean that it wasn't there before. Okay? Restoration of what has been. It's not that it wasn't there before. It's that it has always been there. It is no different. You're recognizing this than before when you had your head down. You still had your arm. You had no hope. And so you could not restore your recognition that this is here and there's stuff you can do with this. Okay?
Absolutely.
There's stuff that you can do with this. Okay? And so, hope What does hope bring? Hope in the lower part, it's not light. Hope in the upper left part brings awareness.
Yes.
Okay, and that's the next major transition of understanding. The first thing was the head up. What is that? That's the birth of hope. Okay, and but I could say let hope have her perfect work.
Yes.
I think that's extremely accurate. Let hope have her perfect work.
Yes.
And what does it result in? It results in awareness. Okay, what does that mean? Just hope brings your recognition of what you weren't aware of before. It says nothing about whether it was there or not. It brings, okay, so hope brings awareness, and that awareness is like light. Okay, it sheds, awareness sheds on you like light does, like going out in the sun and feeling the warmth of the sun. That's what awareness, Trish, I know that, I mean, you are experiencing, so I'm not trying to be specific, I won't go down there, but you know hope birthed brings awareness.
Yes.
And awareness brings the fullness of who God has always meant for us in our sequence that we can't yet see, but He brings awareness.
Yes.
And He does it in such a love way. Okay? So there are those pieces. Hope. But hope brings awareness. And so now we switch over to the other one. Remember, there's hope, I said, and there's restoration. So that top part is hope and restoration. This bottom part is awareness. So the question is, what does restoration mean? What does restoration mean over in this lower right portion of the H? And what it means now, see, it's just technical terms here. Restoration is expression.
Yes.
Okay. Hope brings awareness. Restoration brings expression. Mm-hmm. I can do this with my hand. I can twist it around. I can flow things from one thing to another. I can speak to someone out of good or negative. I can express. I can choose to lay aside the things that take away as if they have no mass. That's a core issue. Those things that are negative to us, they become as if they have no mass, they have no weight, they have no, then, in so doing, they're just not relevant. They can be there or not, but it's not relevant. You know, let me think, let me see if I care. No, actually, they don't have any mass. I don't care. And so restoration brings expression. And so I can start with one. It brings awareness. As it brings awareness, I'm looking around and I have this. Okay, and that's the entrance. Just like you would see the consequence of restoration. Restoration makes its entrance through the door, through hope, and says, "Now comes restoration." And what does restoration mean? Expression. It allows you, Bev, in the idiosyncrasies of the fullness of who you are, okay, to be your expression to the enrichment of yourself, of course, but just like a virus, to everyone around, okay,
awesome.
Everyone around, okay, and so that was the That was the picture of the auditorium, of the people, of the gray, looking down, looking up toward the horizon. And then, and you see this, and you recognize, oh, there is the birth of hope. And the hope brings, okay, the hope brings awareness, and the awareness is like, is just like light. It is just like light, okay? Now, and then out of that comes restoration, comes in the door, and as that restoration is there, it brings about expression. Okay? Now, I do not pretend to know what that means. I do not pretend to be able to explain how you want this picture instanced in your situation the way that your situation is right now. Okay? Wait 5 seconds and it'll change. It'll bring about hope, and all of those in that age, it'll bring about those in a whole different situation 5 minutes from now, a day from now, a month from now. And so that would be my comment, okay? I don't know what it looks like for you. I feel like I know what it is like. And if I want to tune my data acquisition system, okay, and I'll go back to that and then I'm done. I want to go back and I want to diddle with the knobs and stuff on my data acquisition system to tune up my ability to hear, my ability to recognize birth in some particular situation, so that birth can have its, I'm sorry, whatever I said, so that it can have its perfect work.
Yes.
Thank you. So that hope can have its perfect work. And that's just like playing on an instrument. You know, you're playing a melody on that instrument and just let it play.
Amen.
Okay? So, that's my 2 cents.
The scripture says, hope maketh not ashamed. And that's the kind of hope he showed us through this. So, where is Bev?
She's just like that.
Can I say something in relation to what you did?
Yes.
I really think, speed. I kept thinking of the body of Christ when you were talking. You know, when you mentioned the body of Christ. And yesterday I found a quote that I wrote down in my book this morning because I wanted to examine it further. And that quote said, and I thought of that while you were talking, that's why I bring this up. Are we related to something infinite? We count for something only because of the essential that we embody. And if we do not embody that, life is wasted. We count for something only because of the essential we embody. And I thought, well, what is the essential we embody, which of course is spirit. That's the essential. That's the faith is a substance. The essential we embody is a substance. It's real. And that led me to, I was like looking at that this morning because I thought, what does this all mean? And I was looking at body systems. There's closed and there's open. And our body is considered an open system because it interacts with the environment around it. It's an open system then. And then that led me to, well, a system is made up of parts that make it a whole. So the parts of me, which are my organs, my heart, my lungs, my liver, any one of which I took away, my system would not operate.
Yes.
And function like it's supposed to. So I need all of my parts, the whole is the sum of it, all of its parts. And when you were talking about looking at the body as if this awareness, and of course the awareness bringing into restoration, I thought of these body parts of mine has to be connected to that structure, that essential, the spirit.
Yes.
All of which my body, soul, and spirit all are one. We say that, but do we really get that? Do we really get our wholeness, our body, what's going on inside of us? I was really looking at that, John, this morning. I was really looking at my body and my organs and my heart and my liver and my lungs and my blood. And I was looking at how all that was functioning as a whole, but only in connection to spirit. The essential stuff of which I cannot operate.
Yes. Absolutely beautiful.
So thank you, John. That was just beautiful.
Awesome.
Just awesome.
God made his tongue the pen of a ready writer.